Well, let's pray to and ask God to help us hear what He has to say to us today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Bible, for the way that it spurs us on to love and to care for those around us, to look to You and to trust You. And Lord, we ask that You take all distractions away from us so that we can hear what Your Bible has to say to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, membership has its privileges, doesn't it? Maybe you remember the advertising slogan for American Express many, many years ago to express that their credit card gave you extra privileges. I think they might even still use that phrase, don't they? All over the world, there are clubs or organizations with membership. Some of them actually need a significant amount of money to be a member of those clubs. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Core Club in New York. If you want to become a member of this club, you need to pay the $50,000 initiation charge, okay? And then you pay another $17,000 a year to maintain your membership. I guess that's probably out of the reach of many of us. There's a club in Sydney called Level 6, and that will cost you about $5,500 a year to be a member. A little closer to home, Pennant Hills Golf Course, I think this is true. If you want to be a member there, it's going to cost you about $5,000 a year. Being part of a club is sometimes not all that cheap, is it? But money's not the only thing you need to get into these clubs. You'll actually need a referral from someone already in the club to become a member. So you need to find someone who's part of that club and ask them to help you become a member. Now, maybe you could stand outside the club or the golf course one day and say to someone that's walking out, "Well, help me, I want to come in." Now, membership at all these places is about who you know and your willingness to pay the price. And today we're going to look at one of the most exclusive memberships that you can ever get. And the benefits are for eternity, and the cost is very low. Now, the membership I'm talking about is membership into the kingdom of God. Now, to get this membership, John says in verse 3 that you need to be born again. You can see it there in verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. To get into the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And today, we're going to answer that question. Why do I need to be born again? Now, it'd be good for you to have your Bibles open to John chapter 3. In verse 1, we meet a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a member of the Jewish ruling council. He would have been a highly respected person in the community. And in verse 2, we see that he actually treats Jesus with respect because he calls Jesus teacher from God and rabbi. Now, although he's a teacher and he's a respected member of the community, he comes to Jesus at night. Maybe that's he's undercover, doesn't want anyone else to know that he's coming to Jesus. And he seems to be a little lost, doesn't he? He's unsure of what to make of Jesus. Now, perhaps Nicodemus is someone that Jesus hasn't entrusted himself to. Now, I don't know if you remember from last week, we touched on this a little bit. In chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, there was a group of people who believed, there were people who didn't believe, but there were those in the middle who seemed to believe that Jesus could do something, but Jesus doesn't actually entrust himself to them. Maybe they didn't believe that he was the Son of God or he was their Savior, but perhaps they saw Jesus as something special. And I want to say that Nicodemus is part of this same group. He has his doubts, he's seen the miracles, and he believes that Jesus can do something special, but he hasn't fully trusted in Jesus. So he comes to Jesus at night, undercover, with some thoughts, because he doesn't actually ask a question of Jesus. He said in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Now, Nicodemus saw the signs that Jesus did and knows that no one could do this without the help of God. And in Jesus' usual style, he tells Nicodemus what he needs to do. Look at verse 3. Jesus said to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Jesus tells Nicodemus his greatest need. Nicodemus needs to know that how he can see the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, "Well, you must be born again." But Nicodemus is confused, because Jesus spoke to him about being born again, and this is something new, isn't it? Nicodemus didn't understand. It's a new way of getting into the kingdom of God. And it's in verse 4 that Nicodemus asks Jesus a question, where he says, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Now you have to wonder what Nicodemus was thinking at this point. I have to go back in my mother's womb? What's he talking about? Was Nicodemus thinking he'd be made small again and be going back into his mother's womb? Maybe he was thinking of along the lines of "Honey, I Shrunk the Kids." You know that movie where the kids are made small so they can, you know, fit into small places? Was he thinking that? Well, he doesn't understand, does he? And so Jesus explains it to him in verses 5-8. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now in these verses, Jesus explained to Nicodemus the work of the Spirit. He uses language that Nicodemus would understand. Now in verse 5, Jesus said that he needed to be born of water and the Spirit. And this is a repeat of what he's already said earlier in verse 3. So let's do a quick comparison just to help us understand that it is the same. In verse 3, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you," and you know, in verse 5 it says, "Very truly I tell you." Verse 3, "No one can see the kingdom of God." And in verse 5 he says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God." That's similar. And then the last one, 3, "Unless they are born again," in verse 3, but in verse 5 it says, "Unless they are born of water and the Spirit." See, these are synonymous. Jesus is saying the same thing two different ways. And I think that's what we need to understand. Born again or born of water and the Spirit are the same thing. But it's a way to help Nicodemus understand. Now, as a member of the Jewish ruling council, Nicodemus should have known what Jesus said here, because it's a reference to Ezekiel around 500 years before. Now, you can turn to Ezekiel 37, but I'll actually have the verses up on the screen in a second. I'll explain a few things leading up to that chapter. The prophecy in chapter 36 of Ezekiel is about a return of the Israelites from exile. So the Israelites were rebelled against God, and for God to uphold his glory, he sends the Israelites out of their land, out of Israel. Ezekiel then prophesied about Israel's return from exile. Again, this would uphold God's glory as they were brought back into the land. And in the prophecy, he says they'd be cleansed with water. That he told them they'd receive a new heart, that they'd have a new spirit. You'll have your heart of stone removed, and you'll be given a heart of flesh. This is all in chapter 36, at the end of 36, in verses 22-32. And God spoke about... Ezekiel spoke about God's people being renewed. Now, the renewal of his people would demonstrate God's glory. Then Ezekiel in chapter 37 is taken to this valley of dry bones. And many of you would know about this passage. And he's told to prophesy to the bones. He first calls to the bones to listen to the Lord, and that's on the screen now. In chapter 37, 5 and 6. It's just 5 and 6, that's all right. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now this is an incredible prophecy, isn't it? Because the Lord is putting flesh on dry bones. He's taking something dead and giving it life, and this is impossible, isn't it? We can't put flesh on a bone and pretend that it will live. It needs a miracle. It needs a miraculous event to take place for this to happen. But this is what Ezekiel's told to prophesy. And then as Ezekiel prophesied, look at what happens in verse 7. We're going to read from verse 7 to 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. Can you imagine it, can't you? And the bones came together, bone on bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he, that's the Lord, said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is amazing, isn't it? Not just one person, no, an exceedingly great army. The Lord Yahweh does the impossible. He puts flesh and life onto dry bones. And this is exactly what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to remember, that the Lord could put flesh on dead bones. So let's head back to John chapter 3, because Jesus says to Nicodemus, you shouldn't be surprised. God's doing something amazing. Ezekiel prophesied about this time, about God doing something amazing, that he's going to bring life to dead people. But Jesus doesn't mean that he's going to bring life to bones in the valley, does he? He means that he's going to wake up the spiritually dead and make them spiritually alive. This is what it means to be born again, to be born of the water and the Spirit, to be renewed spiritually. Now Jesus is kind to Nicodemus, isn't he? He says the Spirit works like the wind. You don't know where the wind comes from and you don't know where it's going, just like you don't know how the Spirit works. And Nicodemus responds with a question in verse 9. How can this be? Now Nicodemus would have had all these laws and requirements to make sure that people could go into the kingdom of God. As a Jewish leader, he would have taught the people that to get into the kingdom of God would... That for them to enter the kingdom of God, they would need to follow certain rules and regulations set out by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. If you did all of these things, then you will see the kingdom of God. But Jesus turns that around and says, no, that's not right. He says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the only requirement for membership, to be born again. And Jesus seems to get cranky again at Nicodemus, and he says, you are, in verse 10, you are Israel's teacher and do not understand these things? Well, Nicodemus should have understood what Jesus spoke about. And Jesus said to him, I've spoken about earthly things and you don't believe. How are you going to believe the heavenly things? See, Nicodemus came to Jesus with respect, but he didn't really know who Jesus was. He saw the signs, but he didn't believe. And then Jesus told Nicodemus exactly what he needed to do. And Jesus used the example of Moses lifting up the snake in the wilderness. Now the snake was lifted up, and if the people would have looked up at the snake, they were healed. Now Jesus says that he will be lifted up and that everyone that looks to him will live. Now Jesus urges Nicodemus to trust him. Jesus says to him, look on me and you will be healed. Or really, look on me, trust me, and you'll be born again. You'll be given life, life in the Spirit. He'll take your dead self and make you alive. This is what new birth is all about. He's taking dead people, spiritually dead, and giving them life. And this is where we come across many people's favourite verse in the Bible, isn't it? John chapter 3, 16. But I want to remind you that you shouldn't just learn verse 16. You need to learn the next these five verses, because in these verses, we have the tragic reality of hell. These verses tell us that everyone who trusts in Jesus will gain eternal life, and all who don't believe will be eternally condemned, which is life without God, which is hell. Knowing that hell is waiting is, for many people, is the great motivator for us to open our mouths and speak of Jesus. It's the great motivator for us to pray that the Lord Jesus will open people's hearts so that they can see him as their Savior and that they may call him Lord and trust in him. That's what verse 16 to 21 tells us. It's a great motivator, isn't it? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You will not see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." It would have been wonderful to see Nicodemus respond to Jesus at this time, wouldn't it? And Nicodemus is one character that we actually do see throughout John's Gospel. Now, he appears again in chapter 7, verse 50, where he seems to defend Jesus. Again, in chapter 19, verse 38, he was the one who took spices with Joseph of Arimathea to wrap Jesus' body. But we don't see any other signs of life in this man. What we don't see is Nicodemus acting like he's been born again. He doesn't retreat from the club that he's been a part of. He doesn't show us that he's really looked up to Jesus and put his trust in him. Perhaps Jesus hadn't fully entrusted himself to Nicodemus yet. And this morning, as we think about new birth, I want you to turn from holding on to Jesus as a respectful character. Don't look at him and think, wow, he's amazing because of all the miracles he did. Don't live your life thinking that his teachings are something to be respected, because although his teachings are good and we need to believe that he did the miracles, to see the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. Knowing what Jesus has done and knowing him as a respectful character is not going to make you see the kingdom of God. It's a need to be born again. We need to be born again. We need to look to Jesus as the way to have life. Just like Jesus said, look up to Jesus who hung on the cross and trust that he can wash away all your sins with his precious blood. And my prayer is that the Spirit breathes life into each one of us and enables us to trust him so that Jesus can entrust himself to us. Because when Jesus entrusts himself to us, a number of things happen. And I want to leave you with a few things today about why being born again is so important. So the first reason why you need to be born again is that faith is awakened. When we're born again, we receive the Spirit and our faith in Christ is woken up. We're given the ability to look to Jesus and trust him. So look at one. I'm going to have these all on the screen for you. 1 John 5 verse 1 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him." Note in this verse that it says that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. To believe means that you are already born of God. It's not that you believe and then you are born again. See, when you receive the Spirit, you are spiritually renewed, and God gives you the ability to believe. It's why we pray so hard for people to come to know Jesus, because it's a work of the Spirit in someone's life. It's a work of Jesus in their heart, and he needs to turn their dry bones into flesh. They need his Spirit. And when someone receives the Spirit of God, then the grace of the Lord Jesus is irresistible, and we believe. You need to be born again so that your faith is awakened. Second reason why we need to be born again is that we're justified. Romans 5 verse 1, which is the next one. Yep. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, to be justified means that we have peace with God. So then the opposite is true, isn't it, too? If we're not justified, well, then we're at war with God. It means that when we're justified, it means that God looks at us and sees the righteousness or the holiness of Jesus Christ, who took our sin on himself and was punished in our place to set us free. That's what it means to be justified. And new birth leads to justification. The third reason why we need to be born again is that God adopts us. John chapter 1, 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when you're born again, you become a child of God. You go from being outside the family to being part of the family. Now, we don't deserve to be part of the family. We're sinful, rebellious people, just like the nation of Israel. But when we're born again, faith is awakened, we're justified by the blood of Jesus, and God accepts us as children in his family. This is adoption, and we get to call him Father. The fourth reason why we need to be born again is so that God can produce the fruit of love in us. Look at 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love each other. Whoever does not love abides in death. As a forgiven sinner, we can see the love of Jesus for us. And it's through new birth that love between us exists. It's the Father working by the Spirit that enables us to love one another. And we need to pray that the Spirit works so that we do love one another. I mean, the end of that verse is a clear warning for us, because whoever does not love abides in death. It's a clear sign that our love shows that we are born again. And new birth brings us out of death and into life. And the life that he gives us allows us to love one another. It produces the fruit of love in us. And the last reason, the fifth reason why we need to be born again, is so that we can have fellowship with God. And I'm speaking here about eternal life. And this is eternal life, John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To have eternal life is to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. To see the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And this is what our passage is saying to us, isn't it? Eternal life is the goal of why we are born again, so that we can see Jesus face to face in all his glory and know that we will see him with our glorified body. The reason why we need to be born again is to enjoy eternal fellowship with God. See, all the study that you've ever done always leads to something, doesn't it? And at the end of the end of being born again is that you get to enjoy to be with God forever, to enjoy his fellowship, to enjoy his goodness, to enjoy a sinless, perfect world. Friends, eternal life is the goal, but to get membership into eternal life, or for you to see the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. If you're not born again, then you will not see the kingdom of God. You won't be justified, you won't be children of God, you won't bear the fruit of love, and you won't enjoy eternal life. The membership to this club is only open for those who trust in Jesus and are born again. Well, we're going to pray now, and this is a prayer of thanksgiving and request as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We ask that your Spirit would fill us so that we can understand what your word says to us. Lord, we ask that we may be encouraged to know that we have been born again. Lord, we ask that you fill those of us who are unsure with your Spirit so that we may know you and testify to you as our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for the way that you do fill us with your Spirit. We thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. We thank you that your Spirit gives us the ability to love one another well. May you work in each one of us. Lord, we thank you for your protection. We sit in Australia relatively untouched by COVID-19 that is so prevalent all around the world. And we just say thank you.